This season of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is proudly supported by My Music Staff.
A lot of teachers could probably charge a lot more for their services. And I think a big problem why they charge so little is when you're kind of new to the game, the only thing you're doing when you enter the market is looking at your competition and then undercutting them. So it really devalues the profession as a whole, and it's kind of a race to the bottom at that point.
Welcome to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, the place where teachers from around the world meet to share innovative ideas about music education. Listen and learn as we help you motivate your students, grow your income, expand your studio, and become a more creative piano teacher.
Good day, everyone, and welcome back to Season 2, 2018 of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. You're listening to episode number 126, and a very special welcome to all of my Inner Circle Piano Teaching community members. Great to have you here. My name is Tim Topham, your host for the show, and if this is your first time here, thank you very much for tuning in. I really do hope that you enjoy the content and hopefully go and tell all your piano teaching friends about it as well. And for those of you who have been tuning in for a while, thanks so much for choosing to spend time with me once more. The Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is your place for inspiration, ideas, business, and teaching strategies to help support your teaching and grow your studio. The best way to listen to these podcasts, of course, is via my piano teaching app. Just search for Tim Topham in your favorite app store. And as usual, today's show notes and full transcript are now available for download from timtopham.com/episode126. Before we get started, a lot of you have been asking about when I'll be airing my interview with John Schmidt from The Piano Guys. Yes, the John Schmidt joined me for a chat all about teaching, performing, and his upcoming tour of Australia. I'll tell you exactly when you need to tune in at the end of this episode. And for all the inner circlers out there, head to the resource library now for a special surprise. Today, we're talking all about your studio business. But wait. Don't turn off just yet. I know that for some people, talk of business is about as exciting as listening to all of Wagner's Ring Cycle in one sitting. No apologies to any fans out there. But it is such a fundamental aspect of running an independent studio. If you work in a school or music academy, then I still encourage you to listen. Even if you're not officially running your own enterprise at the moment, there may well come a time in the future when you decide to head out on your own and run your business, and this information will be really valuable. Few of us are ever taught about how to run a business, so it's no surprise that so many of us could do with a little bit of help and mentoring, and that's exactly what you'll get a little bit of today. Of course, those of you searching for more support and guidance in this area are very much welcome in my Inner Circle community, where we can nurture and guide you to build as big or small a studio as you wish. While my guest today might refer to himself as tone deaf, although I'm not too sure I totally believe in people being tone deaf, but we'll leave that aside. He is totally in tune with your business. He joined My Music Staff after a decade's worth of technical sales. He now uses that sales knowledge and a love of technology to lead the business success team to help teachers all around the world build and maintain a better business. Welcome to the show, Todd Whaley.
Yeah, thanks so much. My pleasure, definitely, for having me on. It's a real honor.
Well, and it was great to meet you at MTNA in Florida, finally, after, well, at least a year, probably more, of back and forth chatting about all sorts of different things. And look, I have to thank you very much for being one of my Inner Circle experts, too. Great to have you on hand to answer both those My Music Staff questions, but also general studio business questions, which we're going to be talking about today. Thanks for doing that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No problem. And we really owe the thanks to you. It's been an amazing opportunity to communicate with all of your Inner Circle members and interact with different teachers at different stages in their business journey.
Yeah, cheers. It's quite a mixed group, which is what I love about it, because we can all share our skills and ideas. So no, it's great to have you around. So before we begin, I did want to make it clear that while today's guest, Todd, works for My Music Staff, the episode today is not just about My Music Staff. It's really about running your studio business in general with some tactics that anyone can use, no matter what software they're using or not using for that matter. And actually, on that point, what would you say to teachers still running their studio on checks and paper ledgers and phone calls?
I think it definitely goes without saying. It's a manual and laborious process that no one should really have to go through. It eats up a lot of your valuable time. And then really, depending on the size of your studio, it's something that can stunt your growth. There's only so much time in the day where you can be teaching. And if you're spending that valuable time with administrative work, it really hurts your bottom line. So the more you can do to kind of offset that admin work, whether it be hiring an admin or using apps to offset that, automate and streamline those processes, it's definitely the direction that you should be going.
Mm. And I really enjoyed at MTNA, one of your team presented on just some business ideas, and the amount of time that can be saved was actually, I think she, from memory, she kind of graphed it and had it all up there. And it was phenomenal. You could not have come away from that presentation and thought, I'm really doing things manually, and that's going really well for me, when there are so many great options with regard to technology to help. I was really surprised.
Yeah, so we figured, so just kind of the gist of that with the time savings is we figured that the average studio is around 15 students or so. And then we took just one time-consuming task that every teacher has to do on a monthly basis, and that's invoicing. And then in polling many different teachers, there's about six different touch points or apps or services that you're using just to get an invoice out the door. So whether that's Excel, Microsoft Word, using a Google Calendar to figure out how many lessons that teacher actually received, is conservatively, we figured it was about 10 minutes per student each and every month. So that's 150 minutes or 2.5 hours of unpaid labor each and every month. And if you could kind of cast that aside, that could be time that you're teaching, so increasing your studio revenue, or really anything else but manual, laborious work. So you can, focus on another hobby of yours.
So I want to take a step back and look at a bigger picture too. I've noticed a bit of a shift occurring with regard to two things, I think, in piano teaching studios around the world. One is teachers starting to realize that they are business owners and are starting to seek out more training in marketing and more help, and are starting to look at software and things like that. And secondly, that teachers are starting, although it is a bit scary sometimes, they're starting to be less afraid to charge what they're actually worth, and sometimes start increasing charges, and sometimes doing that after 10 years of never changing their pricing. Have you noticed a similar trend?
Yeah, for sure. And I think for the longest time, it was very taboo to talk about money as a creative. And you really just taught simply to share your passion for music. And then I think this approach to it is short-lived, because you quite literally can't afford to do that. So the benefit of running a successful studio is that you're actually able to, with running a successful studio, you have the money, the means, the profit to continue this and share your kind of infectious love of music with a larger audience. And not to mention that everyone really does deserve to financial security or a living wage. So what we're seeing now is, rather than simply trying to cover your costs as a hobbyist, is many teachers are structuring a business to make a profit. And as you mentioned, they're seeking out advice for marketing and all those other elements to help drive this forward. And I think the key word here is also structure. So that means careful planning and business processes are actually being put in place in the pursuit of that profit or growth.
Right. And many of us, and I'm included in this, we kind of fall into teaching in some ways. We just, someone asks us to teach their nephew or niece or the next door neighbor, and we kind of fumble our way through for quite a while and work out what we're going to actually teach the student, and the business side of things. Like, that's the last thing on our mind, because we're just focused on staying above the water with regard to keeping the kid engaged and learning in lessons. So I totally understand why the business side of things often takes a back seat for students, for teachers, I should say, when they're just starting out.
Yeah, and it's totally second thought too, like you mentioned, the business aspect. And when many do pursue an education in music, is most often in all your education, not once did they provide a course on business. So once you're out there in the wild and you're trying to monetize on your your newfound music education is you kind of just trial by fire. You kind of hodgepodge of different apps and resources. And for many teachers at the moment, all you had was Microsoft Excel. So you make do with what you have. And then you kind of hit a wall at a certain point where that's just not enough.
Right. Yep. And there are other things that can do lots, pull lots of those other multiple sources that you're using into one space. And this would be a good time for you to tell us, how did My Music Staff as a company and a piece of software come to be?
Yeah. So this is, My Music Staff is a bit of a love story.
What? No.
Yeah. I know that might sound a bit strange here, but My Music Staff is the brainchild of our founder and developer extraordinaire and his wife, doctorate of music candidate and exceptional teacher. And the problem that arose 5 years back was organizing a music studio so that teaching was the first priority. And then all that other stuff, scheduling students, managing a schedule, sending out invoices and billing didn't have to take up so much time. So the solution that came to be was My Music Staff. And what we had quickly found out is once kind of that first revision went out there is nobody or next to nobody really ran a business that way. So our strategy quickly had to change. And then that's where we really leaned on the community. So everything is now community driven. So any of the features that you see coming out from week to week came from the exceptional great feedback from our members.
Right. So it's actually a bit of a match made in heaven, your founder and his wife, the wife being the music teacher, and he happened to have all these coding skills, so he could actually build some software that his wife could use to run her studio. That's how it worked.
Yeah, you would never expect a creative and a developer to be a good match, but there we go.
Opposites attract, right? Yeah, that's great. And no, I love hearing stories about software and businesses around the world that come to be because of a pain point that the person themselves or someone very close to them are struggling with, and they're finding a solution for it. And lo and behold, there's a whole lot of other people in the world who need that solution as well. So it's great. Great that it came from exactly the roots that we're all dealing with day to day.
Yeah. And then now that we've included the community in this process as well, it's really lent to the flexibility that a lot of our teachers depend on. So rather than just a one best way, is we understand that there's many different ways to run a studio. So anyone that's coming into this will quickly find that, yes, we understand your particular needs and it's no problem, we can accommodate.
Mm. And I've just thought of another question regarding the number of students you have and when paying for some software might make most sense. Because I'm assuming that when you're first beginning, there might be teachers out there who've just got a couple of students. Maybe it is okay to do most of the things you do manually, and that's okay. Maybe up to, I don't know, 5 students. But after that, or soon after that, it makes more sense to have some software help you out. Do you find that users of your software, you know, there's kind of a tipping point in their studio where it really makes sense with the number of students that you use some software?
I would certainly agree that it is much easier with far fewer students to continue to manage your studio by something like a spreadsheet, calendar app, or many other applications. Where it does become a bit difficult is once you get to that tipping point, it's quite a bit more of a process to get in there. And if you were to start earlier, is you've kind of set yourself up to scale much easier. And then there's not going to be that interruption to your business to switch over. So you kind of you adopt good practices ahead of the problem kind of creeping up on you.
Mm. No, that's a really good advice actually, because I made the switch and I know it takes a lot of time sometimes. Depends how many students you've got and what software you were using, or if any, all that kind of stuff. So no, good advice.
Yeah, all right. There have been a couple of examples where studios of 300, 500, 600 students can be up and running within an afternoon. So I would say if you've got 5 to 20 students, it should be no issue getting up and running within a day.
Great. And I have to say that the thing I love most about using software like yours is that the touch point from a student first ever coming into your studio, right from that point, they're in the software. So my waiting list or my enrollment form, as and we might talk about this later on, is all automated through – sorry, it's not automated. It's all online through your system. And mm-hmm. all of that data just goes straight in. And I don't have to sort of manually enter any information. It's all in there right from the beginning, which I think is a big bonus.
Yeah, so right from the website. So someone comes across their website. I love everything I want to see. How do I start lessons with Tim today? And then you can place a widget on your existing website. Or if you don't have a website, we include a website as part of your membership as well. So they fill in that registration form. And then once that student clicks submit, is all of that is transcribed right into your account. So there's no copying and pasting all that information, wasting valuable time. And then depending on your setup, is you can immediately send your students student portal information so they could actually schedule them themselves if you didn't want to be involved in that process.
Brilliant.
We're doing everything in our power to try and make things as easy as possible for a teacher.
That's great. I didn't actually know that you had that automated email back with the login details that allows them to then find a space in your schedule and schedule themselves. That's great. That's really good. Yeah. All right. We'll talk about that in a moment. Sure. I'm very conscious too that you guys collect a lot of data on all the studios that are using your software. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the most surprising statistics you've been able to pull from that data that could possibly help us improve our studio management?
So one of the first ones that we took a look at was payments. So getting paid on time is not only a problem for studio owners, but really any small business. And a lot of the problems do stem from poorly formatted invoices. And that's a whole other can of worms that we can get into. But another big issue is limiting payment options. So in my own experiences, I very rarely carry around cash. I definitely don't have a checkbook on hand and readily available. And most of any of my purchases are made by credit. Yet when it comes to music lessons, your only options are really cash or check in a lot of cases. Credit isn't an option. So that means for a lot of families is they need to go out of their way to source cash or a check in order to get you paid. And you've introduced a barrier to payment. So that's a good reason why you're receiving late or just no payments altogether. So what we did is we took a look at all of our studios that offer online payments or credit card payments, and we compared that to studios that only accept cash or check, and we found that those that do accept credit card payments are paid 2 times as fast as those that just offer the cash and check option. So it doesn't mean you have to stop offering cash and check, but when you introduce that convenience to those families or just one other option to pay, there's far fewer reasons not to pay you.
Right. And while we're on the topic of credit as well, one of the great benefits of using software is that it can automate the credit process. So once you've actually set that up, you don't need to keep asking your parents to pay with their credit card because you've already got the details on file, right?
Yeah. So one of the options that we built into, so it's not just a convenience for you, but it's also a convenience for the families, is they can save a credit card on file. They can flick a switch to turn on auto pay. And what that means is once you send out that invoice, it's automatically going to charge that total to the credit on file. So neither of you have to think about the money. Is the parent has an expectation each and every month, I'm going to pay X amount. You know you want to get paid. So let's make this easy on everyone. And then you can kind of set and forget it in that aspect.
Yeah, 100%. And it is just such a great way to run your billing. And it just makes a lot of sense. And parents actually, I've found, really like it because they don't have to worry about it. Right. You know, they've got enough things to deal with their children and running around and shopping and whatever else it is. If there's one less thing that they have to worry about, I think it's a great benefit for them. Just on invoices too, you mentioned that one of the issues is you see studios, I think you were saying studios with poor quality invoices actually get paid. There's a longer payment cycle as well. Is that what you were saying earlier on?
Yeah, so there's many studios that have a very informal process of invoicing. So that's just no invoice at all. So that's a major issue. So You really need to formalize that process and show families a clear, concise message. You owe me this amount for this reason. It is due on this date, etc. And then the second issue is a poorly formatted invoice. So that's where you're just lacking a lot of information, or the information that you've decided to include isn't clear enough and it raises questions. So you want to take or you want to address enough that that you kind of take those questions out of the process. And every family should know that I owe X amount, it's no mystery, and just let them know how to pay you and by what date.
Right. And of course, you could go on Google Docs or Word and find an invoice template and fill it all out. But of course, there are lots of mistakes you can make along the way because you've got to do this manually for every student. So yes, you can make it look pretty and have all the right information. But again, it's this we're trying to work out ways we can sensibly reduce the manual handling of things. And so that's, again, why some software can really help. Interestingly enough, too, Todd, checks over here in Australia, they don't actually exist anymore. If I get a check, so sometimes a US company that I work with might send me a check, it actually takes up to 2 months to clear and costs about $60 to process because we just don't use them anymore. So I'm sure that other countries like the United States may well go the same way at some stage in the future because it's just such a laborious manual process. Processing checks, yeah, so, and you've got to go to the bank as well, right, to actually cash
them. It's an extra trip you don't need to make.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think in 2018, the UK, Canada, and Ireland are phasing out checks. So the writing's on the wall.
Right. Yep. Definitely. Just get with the credit. So look, here's a big question, and it's the question on everybody's lips when we talk about money and income. What should teachers be charging? Have you got any data on that you could share with us?
So with that one, I don't think there's a catch-all answer. So that's going to largely depend on your region and expertise. But what I can tell you is from what we've seen is a lot of teachers could probably charge a lot more for their services. And I think a big problem why they charge so little is when you're kind of new to the game, the only thing you're doing when you enter the market is looking at your competition and then undercutting them. So it really devalues the profession as a whole, and it's kind of a race to the bottom at that point. And I think if we focus more on our unique selling proposition more than anything else, is that's the excuse you need to charge more. So rather than a general statement of, hey, I teach piano lessons from ages 2 to 99, well, anybody that knows how to play the piano can likely deliver that same experience. So the only thing differentiating you from Studio A is simply the price. So it's just a back and forth of undercutting each other, and it's in no one's best interest. Whereas if you can do one thing incredibly well, not only can you teach more, there's no comparison in that regard.
Right. And this is what I teach my members as well. Try and find a point of difference when you're putting out your marketing efforts so that people can tell, yeah, this is the person that's just fantastic with the composing, or this person's got a digital audio workstation in their studio and helps their students compose dance music, or this is the teacher that does this incredible stuff with preschoolers. So try and find, I agree. So Todd's called it your unique selling proposition, often shortened to USP. If you hear that around the place, that's what that means. It's just trying to find out, what is it about you that sets you apart from your competition so that you're not competing just on price. And in actual fact, a little bit later in this series too, I'll be talking to Danny Thompson about this very topic, about taglines, branding, and USP. So stay tuned for more on that. But great overview from Todd there. Now, a quick word from our sponsor, My Music Staff. Most of you have already heard about My Music Staff and how their software helps thousands of music teachers manage their businesses more efficiently. They handle all of your student management issues, scheduling, billing, and so much more. It's what I personally use in my own studio, and it's no surprise why it's the leading studio management software. What I think really makes My Music Staff stand out is its community-driven development and personal approach to customer support. It was such a pleasant surprise jumping into My Music Staff for the first time and realizing how in tune it was with my business and the ins and outs of a music studio.
Since they partner with the music community to develop their software, they've been able to anticipate what teachers need and are constantly improving their software to exceed expectations. My Music Staff is super easy to get up and running. The transition away from paper and spreadsheets is painless. If you do need help, the quality of support is second to none, and you'll always get a fully personalized response. I have yet to see the level of attention and care I receive from My Music Staff provided by any other software platforms I use, and I use a lot of software in my business. So what have you got to lose? Just go to mymusicstaff.com and sign up for their free 30-day trial today.
So let's dive into some of the biggest headaches, other than trying to work out how much we charge for teachers. So the first one I've got on my list is billing. We've mentioned it a little bit. Was there anything else to cover in the billing side of things?
So I think this one is a two-part answer. So first, I would say be kind to yourself, and then don't overcomplicate your billing. And then secondly, use the right tools to automate your billing. And what I mean to the first part of being kind to yourself when it comes to billing is that, as an example, lesson packages. So many different studios will offer many different lesson packages, each number of lessons being a different price. You offer a slew of different discounts to your families, and they can qualify by X, Y, Z, Z for you Americans out there. And then another one would not be charging a consistent rate. So what I mean that, by that is, say you charge, so for a 30-minute lesson, you charge $25. So if we work out the rate for that, that's $50. And then you offer different lengths of lessons. And when we get up to a 60-minute lesson, you might only charge $40. So when we work out that rate, it's $40. So you've gone from $50 per hour down to $40 per hour. So you're shortchanging yourself $10 by teaching more. So that obviously does not work in your best interest as a business owner. And again, going back to that theme of having limited time in a day to really capitalize on revenue, is you need to charge a consistent rate. And then it makes it a lot clearer for your clients as well. So I charge $50 per an hour, but I do offer many different lesson lengths. And then what you need to do as a business owner and your own salesman is deliver the value by showing them what more can you achieve in a longer lesson rather than price alone.
Right. I remember when I first started, I did that multi-leveled, the longer you teach, the better the discount kind of thing to encourage. Yeah. I think it was to encourage people to have longer lessons. But you're absolutely right. Just keep it simple. Here's my rate per hour. And I think even better is to do a set monthly fee, which covers students for X number of lessons over the course of a year. So I say that I'll be teaching 35 lessons in a year. You divide that by the number of months you want to get paid. So that could be 12 months of the year, or it could be 10 months if you want to have a couple of months off or whatever it is. And that's the amount that you plug into your software and that is automatically charged to students' credit cards and or teachers, sorry, parents' credit cards. And I've talked about this before. I've done Facebook Lives. I've got videos. I've got checklists and cheat sheets about how to set this up. If you haven't considered a set monthly billing fee, then head to timtopham.com/monthly, where I've got exactly how I do it and an overview, in fact, of how I've set this up on My Music Staff too. So I think that's a really good way to go. Have you got a lot of teachers that are doing just the regular set monthly or semester or term fees?
Yeah, I'd say there's a healthy mix of both. And then it's also a great benefit to parents as well, is when you can budget that set monthly amount, because it's always a surprise. And then kind of going back to the last point of having to explain your invoice is when there's one of those months where there's that extra fifth lesson, is you know you're going to get calls for that. So by setting that same monthly tuition, is you make life easier for both you and your parents.
Mm, very much agree. I think one of the few times that I do probably agree with discounts is when you're teaching multiple children from the same family. I think that's probably a time when an offering a discount for the second and third children could be valuable. What do you think? Have you heard of teachers doing that?
Definitely have heard of teachers doing that. And I think it also depends on kind of your student roster. So if you have more students than you know what to do with, you probably don't need to do that. So whereas if you're trying to attract more clientele, what better person to reach out to than a current client of yours? And then that's definitely a way to attract a sibling to start taking lessons.
Right. So another big headache for teachers, scheduling and makeup lessons and things like that. So how can software, or what suggestions have you got even without software that could help with this?
Oh, geez, not doing it?
Yeah, so that's also a bit of a nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah, makeups is certainly a hot topic in the teaching community of whether or not to offer it or not. Again, this is one where you are in your journey. So if you have, again, more students than you know what to do with and you simply don't have the time, you obviously don't offer it. But from someone just starting out, it's a great customer experience approach to things. And when it comes to managing those kind of things, the offline approach is a very laborious process, whereas there are software solutions out there to help you, like My Music Staff. And the way we aim to help with scheduling is just by taking it away from the teacher. A common pain point for a lot of teachers is just the countless emails, phone calls, and texts they receive while in lesson, after hours, with students trying to let them know that, hey, I can't make my lessons, soccer started again, or I need to reschedule, can I do Friday instead, do you have any availability? You really don't need to be part of this process. So what we aim to do is shift parents and students to our student portal. So a student would be able to log in. They would be able to let you know of an upcoming absence, simply cancel it, and then we'll follow whatever policies that you've put in place. So say you require 24 hours notice and a student is only going to give you 1 hour's notice, is we'll give them a finger wag and say, yeah, I'll allow you to cancel, but you're still going to be charged for this lesson. And what we've done is we've taken you out of that awkward conversation that you have to have with that parent about not providing adequate notice. And then they can take a look at any open availability that you've made available, and they can simply reschedule themselves. And then this can all also automatically manage your makeup credits. So say you are a studio that offers this. If a student, for example, gives greater than 24 hours notice, is you could automatically award them a makeup credit to use at a future lesson.
And that's all depending on how you set up the system according to your policy, right?
Yeah, so we understand that everyone's going to be different. So someone might need a week's notice for a cancellation. Others might be very lenient and cancel as much as you want and make it up if I have the availability.
Mm. I think I'm hoping that teachers listening who have had headaches with rescheduling and makeup lessons and all of those kinds of things before are going, light bulb moment here. All of this, as Todd just said, can be out of your hands completely. You just set your schedule and you decide what is public and therefore what students can see, and you let the system know how they could rebook their time or change their time. So everything is there in front of you. You log in at the start of the day, you see who's coming, who's changed, who's not coming. You're not dealing with emails and phone calls and you're not trying to reschedule people. It's all done online. I think it's absolutely brilliant and it is such a big time saver, particularly if you've got 20, 30, 40, 50 students in your studio. So nice job on that. I've seen it in action with your software. And as we say, this isn't all only available on My Music Staff. There are other options. But whatever you do, if you can get that into some software, please, please, please try and do it. It's a great time saver. Now, what about lesson planning? I get lots of questions about lesson planning. I've recorded podcasts on it and things like that. Is there any aspect of that that you've found software can help with?
Yeah, so I think one of the common pain points or headaches for a teacher would be when a student simply forgets their notebook. Yet when you ask them, well, did you remember your cell phone? And of course, that's in their back pocket. So the solution to this approach would be taking things online so that cell phone could become that notebook. And then everyone's got the same notes as well. So what we hope to do, or what we do, is while you're taking attendance for any of your events in My Music Staff, you have the option to leave individual lesson notes for the student, the parent, and then your own individual lesson notes. You have the option afterwards to email that out to all your clients, and or they can access that through the student portal. And another beneficial feature is if you have a horrible memory like me, I don't know what I did 5 minutes ago, let alone a week ago, I'm going to need a refresher on what I did last week with that student. So you're able to review your past notes. Johnny had trouble with this exercise. We'll be sure to focus on this particular scale this week. Really great way to track progress. And then another element that we allow during this piece is assigning repertoire to a student. And we're actually going to be releasing a pretty major update to this feature. And we think it should be available by the time that this episode airs. So what we're changing is you'll now be able to create a master repertoire list and simply assign rep pieces in bulk to particular students. And we're going to make this kind of a more multimedia driven experience too. So for each rep piece, you're still going to be able to record title, publisher, and all those kind of details. But we're also going to give you the ability to upload something like an audio file so you can listen to what you're learning. Maybe there's a recording of you playing it or someone else playing it. You'd be able to upload the video. If you have the sheet music available and you'd like to share that with the student, you can upload a PDF. Or even a YouTube link. And then you'll also be able to leave repertoire notes. So if it's just general notes and direction for best way to approach this, you can include that. And then if one particular student needs a bit more attention and care, you can also leave individual rep notes for them.
Nice, nice. And there's definitely a number of other apps that do similar things with practice. I've tried a number of them. I've got a good friend who's got the Practicia app as one option, and I know there's Better Practice, and there's a whole lot of different ones, and I've tried many of them. It's interesting that I often come back to paper in the end. I'm a bit old school in that regard, given that so much of my business is tech and online and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes I just love that freedom of drawing and whatever it is. But you're absolutely right. Kids forget it. I forget it. It gets lost, whatever it is. So I think more and more this stuff will come online and be a helpful tool for teachers. So great to hear about some of the new features coming out. What about another headache, tax reporting, expense tracking, and all of that fun stuff that none of us like to do?
No one likes to do it. I thought that was – everyone's looking forward to tax time, aren't they?
Well, maybe the refund you might get.
Yeah, maybe. So, yeah, no one likes taxes. But with the right tools, it doesn't have to be a painful experience. Problem with most any small business, I would say, is just how you record it. So most don't record it at all. They've got that shoebox full of receipts. Others might do it in a spreadsheet. And what's particularly cumbersome is at the end of the year is you need to find your spreadsheet that has all your teaching income. Then you have to go find your spreadsheet, if you have it, for all your expenses. Then you've got to find that shoebox full of receipts, and then you dump it on your accountant's desk and hope for the best. So our approach to this particular solution is being that kind of business in a box, comprehensive solution. Is we've already got all your teaching income in one place, so that's one problem solved. And then we also have expense tracking. So you just have to go through the process of recording your expenses as it comes in. And if you happen to be on the go, is we now offer an option to snap a shot of that receipt. And then if possible, we'll capture the date, the amount, the payee, and upload that. So come the end of the year.
That's a great benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Click of a button, you've got a revenue expense report that you pass off to your accountant. You get to wipe your hands clean of it. Your accountant will love you. And then that's how we hope to alleviate the stress of the dreaded tax season.
Yeah, I'm sure accountants will be very, very happy if you don't come with a shoebox full of stuff. That's great technology. I didn't realize you had a scanning ability to pull data out of a scanned receipt.
Yes, I think that was a couple months back. We introduced this feature, And then it's constantly learning. So it's going to get more and more accurate over time.
Wow, that's cool. Very, very cool feature and such a great time saver. I mean, I use the Dropbox app on my phone for uploading receipts, which my bookkeeper can then deal with. Whatever it is, just getting it onto an online space, get it digitized. I think that's the primary thing here. Even if you're just scanning it and or taking a photo and saving it in a folder for your accountant, that is just 100% better than literally bits of paper everywhere, because they'll get lost and they're a pain to work with. So last one, really briefly, we mentioned before about websites. Tell us about ways that software can help with that, because a lot of the solutions out there do have some basic website options for teachers. We mentioned how I use your widget to capture new student information as well. So there's kind of two options there.
Yeah, so this is another one of those surprising stats that we took a look at. So what is the impact of a studio website? So we took a look at all of the studios that started with us in January of 2016, and then looked at how they were performing in January of 2017. And what we were looking at is those that have a studio website and those that do not. So those that did not have a studio website saw a decrease, I think it was 21% in their students. So you lost about 1 in 5 students. And that's just through regular churn. But not having that website is you weren't actively seeking out new students at the time. So that's one of your hardest working marketing platforms, and one of the most affordable is a studio website. And it's kind of a hub for all the other marketing activities you do, because you're always trying to drive people back to that website. And then when we took a look at those with a website, it was an 80% increase in students year over year. So you're almost doubling your studio simply by having a studio website. And I think the reluctance for many to not have a website is they think it's just a bit too involved. I don't have the coding experience to do this. But in the past few years, there's been an incredible number of kind of plain, stupid, simple solutions that have been launched, like Wix, Weebly, Squarespace. We even have a My Music Staff website builder. So anyone that has experience with Microsoft Word, if you can drag and drop and add text, you're good to go. You can create a website.
Right. Yep.
No, and for those that have a website, the widget option, like you mentioned.
Yeah. Yep. And for those that do want more in-depth information, we've got a very in-depth course in our Inner Circle Academy all about creating or updating an online business presence with a website, particularly using WordPress, which is the platform that I personally recommend if you've got the time and the inclination to build something more substantial. As Todd says, though, there are so many free options, and My Music Staff gives everyone a free option there that's just perfectly acceptable if you need to get started with capturing data and giving students a place to go when you send them from your marketing efforts there. So I think we'll start wrapping things up, Todd. It's been fantastic to speak with you. What's one big thing that you'd like teachers to take away from today's discussion?
So I think I can start this one off with a far-fetched analogy.
Okay.
So I need to commute to the office each and every day, and I could do this by horse. So, okay, cue the laughter. No laughter. Okay. Tough crowd. So instead, I actually commute by car. So while both options still get me from point A to point B, is one of those options is obviously a lot more efficient and definitely a lot more comfortable than the other one. And then the same can kind of be said with managing your studio. So while you can juggle 6 different apps to run your studio, spreadsheets, Google Calendar, and a whole ton of other applications out there, is we do offer one kind of central or one app to kind of centrally manage all of these aspects of running a studio to increase your efficiency and help you grow and thrive as a business.
Makes a lot of sense to me, and I hope many teachers listening will be making sense to those guys as well. Now, I'm really excited too, as part of you being one of our Inner Circle experts, we actually have an exclusive 90-day trial of My Music Staff available to all Inner Circle members. So I think normally your trial is about 30 days that any teacher can get started. Is that right?
Yeah, so anyone looking to start today, simply visit mymusicstaff.com and then you can start your 30-day free trial. And then for those that are part of the Inner Circle, there is an exclusive offer to them where it is 90 days.
Right. And was there anything else, given we've got you on the show and you've given us this time today, was there anything else you wanted to mention about My Music Staff that we haven't talked about today?
Yeah, so I guess we've got one more stat, I guess, that we could share. So we've already had the pleasure of helping thousands of music teachers find success through My Music Staff. And then we'd certainly like to help everyone listening at home as well. So as we previously mentioned, whether it be the 30-day free trial through us or the exclusive offer through Tim, we'd definitely like everyone to jump aboard. And one of the exciting stats that we found is My Music Staff members on average see a 13% increase in revenue year over year. And then that all starts simply by signing up and giving it a try. And then we're there to support you all the way along your journey.
Right. And I have to say that the support that you guys provide is one of the biggest drivers of my happiness to tell other teachers about what you do. Because I know for a fact that when it comes to starting new technology, you'd need that support sometimes, and you want someone there that's going to quickly answer your questions. And Todd himself is on the support team, and I can't believe how much detail and time you've given me, and I'm just one of your many members in supporting their growth with your software and getting them involved and onboarded and all that kind of stuff. It's truly phenomenal, and it's not just a matter of they'll sort of you ask them a question and they'll send you their stock canned response. They'll actually go into your account and start finding out exactly what you've done, where you should be going, and talking in terms of your students and where you should be going. It's really phenomenal, Todd. It's a massive effort that you guys put in. So thank you very much for all the support you give your members and hopefully some new people that might try you out as a result of this interview.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, we definitely want to get people in there as quickly as possible and set up for success as quickly as possible. So removing that pain and tailoring a personal experience is definitely what we're all about.
Right. And so even if you, you're a bit tech, what's the word? Not tech savvy. If you're a bit of a tech phobic,
then
yeah, technophobe. That's the word I was looking for. Please rest easy, because you've got a great team supporting you. If you come on and have a look at My Music Staff, so do check that out. Inner Circle members can find that in our discount area of the site. They'll find out how to get their 90-day free trial. Otherwise, everyone else can head to mymusicstaff.com for your 30-day free trial and get started. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Todd.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It was great to be able to speak to you, and thanks all for listening.
It was great fun. And if you'd like to get in touch with Todd himself, I'm sure you'll be able to contact him through My Music Staff or, of course, via our Inner Circle forums if you're a member. And if you're not a member, head to timtopham.com/community to find out more. Thanks so much, everyone.
I really hope you enjoyed my interview there with Todd Whaley from My Music Staff. I have to say that the support that you get from My Music Staff really is phenomenal, and it is driven and led by Todd himself, who, when I first signed up, really nurtured me along the way of getting things involved, getting things organized in my studio. And it wasn't just a matter of his, you know, send me a reference to, you know, a document online about how to do it. He'd actually go in and he'd name some of my students and say, well, I think you've set up X wrong, or here's what you do. You need to click that. And, you know, he's clearly taken so much time to actually help people. And I know this wasn't just me, because I've heard other people having exactly the same story. So thank you very much, Todd, for helping me get set up. Now, a few reminders. My GarageBand course is absolutely taking shape. I'm totally stoked about releasing this to you soon. We've got modules including, obviously, getting started, just how to actually use it, what it does, and I'll give you an example of a track that one of my students created. We're going to talk about creating multi-track backing tracks, live looping, editing, mixing, something weird called quantizing, which you might not have heard of, but it's really important, using smart instruments, and a deep dive into the very cool effects that you can use. So we've got a webinar and a course coming out later this month. Do stay tuned for information on social and email about that. Of course, as usual, if you do have a spare few minutes for a Facebook or iTunes review and you haven't given me one yet, I would totally love it if you could spend the time doing that. It's only a 5-minute job and it means a hell of a lot to me. So if you can do that, you can find out more at timtopham.com/review. All right, next week on the podcast, I'm very excited to announce, finally, you get to meet John Schmidt from The Piano Guys. We'll be finding out what his piano lessons were like, how he focuses on creativity in beginner teaching, his advice on improvising, and we'll even find out how much he practices. And also how he challenged my own views on classical music and classical recitals. You'll actually see that in action, or you'll hear it in action, I should say. He also answers a whole lot of listener questions which I posed in my community and on Facebook. You'll be blown away by how down to earth this guy is, and I cannot wait to share it with you. Tune in next week for the interview, and Inner Circle members, you get full access not only to the audio, but to the exclusive live full video interview as well, and it's available right now in our resource library. Let me know what you think. I'm Tim Topham, and you've been listening to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.
We'll conclude this evening's entertainment.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. We'd love to help take your teaching to the next level as a member of our supportive community. Use the coupon Piano Podcast for $100 off an annual membership of Tim's Inner Circle today. To find out more, head to timtopham.com/community.